Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
People aren't to make images of God because God has already made images of himself, so that we become people in whom God's image is being restored.
Hey, Mr. Brown. Kingdom Culture Conversations. We're still hustling through the Red Letter Reading Challenge. Today is April 15th.
April 15th, Tax Day.
Tax Day.
But in the context of the Red Letter Challenge, we're talking about Matthew chapter 8.
Okay, so that's interesting.
So
that has nothing to do with, we're not talking about Caesar and taxes and give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. We're not going to go the tax route today.
No, we are not. We're going to talk through a whole bunch of other stuff, though. Which is better.
Yes.
Amen.
And
we are pleased to be joined in the international podcasting headquarters of Kingdom Culture Conversations. By the way, we're actually enjoying kind of a surge of listeners.
Oh.
Which is fun to watch on the little app that you watch the you monitor the statistics.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised at the number of listeners we have internationally.
Oh.
It's just
bizarre. Does it say where besides the Spain?
Yeah, it's recently the one that struck me was the Netherlands.
Huh.
Why in the world would somebody tune in to Kingdom Culture? If you're in the Netherlands and you're listening to the Kingdom Culture conversation, call me.
Yeah.
I would love to know. My cell phone number is in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how you came across Red Letter Kingdom Culture
Conversations. That's pretty crazy. That's great.
Love it. But we are privileged to be joined today by Colleen Fitzinger. Thank you for joining us, Mrs. Fitzinger. This is great.
Well, thanks for having me, and it's working at NCS is a joy.
Oh. And you've worked here a minute.
Yes.
How long have you worked at NCS?
This is my 26th year.
Yeah.
I worked in fourth grade for 22 years, and then I did online for 1 year, and then I'm back in the classroom in third grade for 3 years.
Okay. And awesome. Is that a goal for the idea for next year, too, would stay in third grade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so that's a long time. That's a legacy. And I think about you taught one of my children. Did Miss Fitzinger have your kids?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Destiny, yes.
Okay. Dusty Lou?
Yes.
Dusty Lou was in the class. And I have it on good authority that, as I mentioned before we started recording, she pretends to be somewhat timid, Mrs. Fitzinger. But in fact, in the classroom, she's quite a character. Is what I understand from Dusty Lou.
What happens in the classroom stays in the classroom.
Yeah.
Yes, but it is a joy. Children are a joy, and that's one of the reasons why I'm still here, is just developing a relationship with them. And if I can just shape their future and teach them how to be confident in the Lord, teach them how to be confident as a person, if I could just have a small part in that, I'd be satisfied.
Well, you have a great part in that, and that's it's been fun to watch. And like I said, having Tim in there, I got to work with you because I did the JA, BizTown. I got to come in and talk about some things with your class, and that was so much fun.
Yes.
It's cool, too. One of the things I do is I like to connect with alumni and just figure out from a spiritual formation perspective what are the things that turned up the temperature spiritually in their lives during their time at Northwest Christian. It's just kind of a good thing to keep your finger on the pulse of. But I am struck by the number of alumni that reflect back to fourth grade, and now it'll be third grade, in their time with you. Of all the elementary teachers they had, you had a singular impact on so many students, and it's so cool to see that. So
thank you. I appreciate that. I know when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life, and when you work with people and you invest in people, you know, I don't feel like I've aged at all. I feel like I'm 10 years old, you know, and I want school to be fun for me, too.
Yeah.
So it should be, learning should be fun.
I think about your commitment. I know you've been at your church for a long time as well.
About 40 years.
40 years at your church. And what church is that?
Cornerstone Baptist Church.
Yeah.
So, that's the church our family grew up in. My parents have since passed away, but they're the ones that found that church for us. And now that is my church family.
So, for 40 years. That's a
Yes.
That's a long family. That's so great. And
yes.
What have been maybe some memories of you over the years, like some things that stood out, like funny things happen in fourth grade? Sorry to put you on the spot.
There's been a lot of fun, but I specifically just, not even just fourth grade, but remember the development of the school.
Oh, yeah.
And just how the nurse's office used to be behind the front desk in the main office. That was the nurse's station. You would lie on the floor if you were not feeling good. In the supply closet, that would be where if you had to throw up, you would grab a trash can and throw it up there. And so you'd walk by. I'm like, okay, nice. But I have so many memories of just even when I go back into that classroom, I remember that happened there and that happened there and that happened there. And just leading some kids to the Lord, those make an impression on me. And loving on these kids, playing games with them, and just making learning fun.
Yeah.
Who was the superintendent when you started?
Dave Young. Yeah.
Dave Young was.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. And who was the elementary principal at the time?
Joanne Roberts. She's the one that hired me. In fact, I went to school in Pensacola, and I had to come home because my mom was ill. And my sister actually found this school for me. She goes, I just made an interview with you with a lady named Joanne Roberts. I'm like, okay, because I had to come home in a rush, quickly interview with her, and she hired me. And yeah, it's amazing how even just the income level at that so many years ago was so, so little. But I was excited. I was excited to start. So
that's so awesome. Great. So yeah. Great. And I know, I there's some things I really love. I love Jesus. I love young people, and I love my family. And, those things you love as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put those together, when you put Jesus and young people together, and this family here we have. So when you were asked to do this podcast, I know it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to go on a podcast. But when you're talking about things you love.
Absolutely.
And Jesus and young. And when kind of did you come to know the Lord? You said you've been involved in this church for a long time. But when did you, what's your kind of?
I was at camp and we had a missionary come and I was 12. But I struggled with my salvation since I was 4 years old. My sister came home from VBS, said, do you want to be saved? I said, sure, why not? And so I don't remember praying the prayer when I was 4. Mm-hmm. So for 8 years, I struggled with my salvation. And that's one of the things I bring in when I work with the kids at school. I said, get it taken care of. You know, don't wait the 8 years like I did. I was wondering if the rapture was going to happen or whatever. I just really struggled.
Yeah.
But then when I was at camp, I made sure. It was at actually Prescott Pines camp, the camp that our fifth grade used to go to.
Yeah.
And my pastor always said, you know, you need to have a place where you can draw a circle around where you got saved. Can you do that? Is there a place that you can go to? You don't have to remember the day, probably the person you talked to, yes, but can you draw a circle? And so that's my circle at Prescott Pines Camp there.
And so you said from 4 to 12. Like, what do you mean struggle? Like, you were like, I'm not sure. Like,
I doubted my salvation. And so I just, you know how you ask Jesus in your heart several times where you only have to do it once, right?
Yeah.
I just thought the rapture was going to happen. I thought I was going to go to hell. I was just scared that it didn't take. And so it's just a childlike faith that you didn't have when you were 4 or 6. I don't remember doing that. But my mom also told me that I was saved. Oh, you're saved. Yes, you're saved. And so I banked on that. But then you know if you're not. And so you the Holy Spirit pricks you and you just, you know, knocks on your door. And I just wanted to get it taken care of. And ever since then, I haven't doubted. I've had assurance.
Awesome.
So.
And that started a love letter with Jesus, you know, falling in love with Jesus and reading his word.
And my parents, I grew up in a Christian home. Okay. And I have a great church. I have great people here. Joanne Roberts, Donna Underwood. I've known them for a long time. They've been pillars in my life that has kept me in my faith.
It's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into Matthew chapter 8. You know, contextually, we're looking at a gospel written primarily to the Jewish people as an audience, and so there's a lot of areas of emphasis within that. One of the things that I think struck us both as we were talking prior to this is the miracle of the centurion. Here it is, you know, we've got this, the people of Israel are reading this, and Matthew goes to the trouble of explaining that Jesus healed a centurion's servant. And the people of Israel were not fond of centurions, and so that's an interesting designation. But what are some of the things, Colleen, that jump out at you as you look at Matthew chapter 8?
Well, if we're going to speak with the centurion servant first, that's in verse 8. And he needed his servant to be healed. And he, recognizing who Jesus was, he met him on the road saying, you don't even need to come in my house. Just speak the word and he will be healed. And I encourage my students in my classroom, I ask him, do you know who Jesus is? This centurion knew who Jesus was. Do you know who he is? I didn't ask you, have you heard about him? Satan knows who Jesus is, but do you know who he is? Do you know he's the creator of the universe? Do you know that he knows how many hairs are on your head? Do you know that he, you are fearfully and wonderfully made and that he has a plan for you? Mm-hmm. And that he is the Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful counselor. Do you know that? Do you have a relationship with him? And I think a lot of people put Jesus in a prominent place. They would go to church and different things, but they're not making him preeminent in their lives. And so I just want to encourage the listeners and myself and us just to keep going and making him preeminent and just recognizing and not forgetting who Jesus is. I think we would trust him more. We wouldn't lean on our own understanding as much if we know who Jesus is. We wouldn't worry so much.
Yeah, I like that when Jesus was talking to Peter, he says, who do you say that I am? He says, well, some say Elijah, some say, no, who do you say?
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. Like,
yes.
Who do your parents say? Who does your youth pastor say? Who does Mr. Brown, Mr. Mm-hmm. G.? Ms. Fitzing, who do you say?
Yes.
That's important.
Yes.
Colleen, what a powerful turn of phrase, too, that you used. I love that you said he's not meant to be prominent. He's meant to be preeminent. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. One of the things, too, is I look at Matthew 8 in the story of the centurion. Sometimes it's helpful to look at horizontal gospel accounts where, you know, if you have a horizontal harmony where the passages are lined up against each other side by side. This passage from Matthew 8 is represented in Luke chapter 7, and it talks about the centurion account. But then Luke also adds another piece. He says in verse 11, this is again Luke chapter 7, he says, soon afterward, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. This is powerful because in Jewish culture, if she's a widow, she has no means of provision, no means of sustenance. Her husband is gone, can't provide for her. And the fact that this young man has now, her son has passed away, and it was an only son, means that she's literally destitute. She has no family to take care of her. So she's essentially left homeless. And verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. And you think, that's quite a statement. Jesus, that, you know, and I think if you're this woman and you've just seen Jesus heal the centurion's servant, all right, the centurion is from Rome occupying Israel, displacing the rightful government of Israel and treating the people, the Jewish people, in a rather unkind way. Fashion would be an understatement. And yet Jesus goes to the trouble of healing the centurion's servant. But as you're this woman, I have to imagine you're thinking, Jesus, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
You know, you could have healed my son. And that didn't happen. And then he has the audacity to say, don't cry. But then he went up and touched the bier upon which they were carrying him. And the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. I just love the fact that in Matthew 8 and Luke 7, we have this account of Jesus' compassion being very broad, and it surpassed geography and ethnic boundaries. It's for all people. Even when that sometimes is awkward. And Jesus says, love your enemies, literally in this instance. He loved his enemy. I love that. Somebody that would ultimately be involved in his crucifixion.
Yeah. And you were kind of talking a little bit about, I love that you mentioned that we just come out of 5, 6, and 7 Matthew, which is probably one of the most famous sermons ever given, right? You know, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mountain. And then there's not as many read in Matthew chapter 8, but it's okay. But what was your kind of insight on that?
Well, I know that Jesus was speaking for the prior three chapters, and then you'd think he would be done. It's time to go take a break and get alone with God, whatever you want to, you know, do. I don't know about you, but by 4 o'clock on Friday, I'm almost done peopling. I'm almost done. And yet he turns around, and there's, in this Matthew 8, has six more accounts, six more events that are going to take place. And so Jesus preached from the mountain, continued to minister to people, but he realized that people were his ministry, and he had compassion on them. He knew that interruptions were part of his mission on earth. And even in the classroom, you can plan all you want to. Yeah. There will be interruptions. And if you look at them as, you know, you've asked for people to be put in your path, sometimes it's going to be an interruption. I think this passage reminds me that when people are in our way or when people become a nuisance to us, we've stopped serving. We've stopped serving the Lord. When we serve our Creator by serving people who are made in His image, I think it blesses the heart of God. Now, you are both parents. When other people bless your children and spend time with your children and pour into your children, how happy does that make you guys? It blesses you. So when we see the people that are overlooked or are undervalued, I think it blesses the heart of God. Yeah. Because we are pouring into His kids. And He can't be here with His hands and His feet, but we know that He's here. But I think our students in our classroom sometimes feel overlooked and unloved. And just to be a part of that, to show them who they are in Christ, and to show them that we will love them even with their imperfections. And they see my imperfections every single day. We love them for who they're going to become. If you're having a hard time liking somebody you're working with, or just anybody, this is just general. Yeah. Like them for what God's doing in their life. Love them for what they're going to become, and that God is at work in their life as well. And I think it's another way to keep Jesus on the throne of our hearts. So we're not the one that's on the throne. Jesus should be the one, and we do that through serving. So another thought is that we can't give what we don't have. We need to pour into this red letter challenge. We need to pour into the Word so we can be filled up.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask the disciples, how does Jesus get his strength? How does Jesus, you know, besides being God, they would say he gets alone with God. He has that fence. He has that place, that secret place.
I think what I hear you say is great. It reminds me of Guy Dowd. I don't know if you know what Guy Dowd is, but he was the National Teacher of the Year in like 1984. I don't know how many other, he's the only National Teacher I've ever heard of, Guy Dowd. But you ask Guy Dowd, what do you teach? He says, well, I teach young people. And I think that's what I if you see a student, a child as a nuisance, as just someone to be taught and not be heard or listened to, you've kind of forgotten what you're doing.
Yes.
And thank you for, I mean, I try to, every time I walk by a kid, if I hear somebody, hey, Mr. G, I try to stop, make sure I get some eye contact, you know, make sure I see, hey, I see you, you know,
and
find value in that person, because you never know what they're going through. And I would guess in your classroom, I never taught the elementary, but like if there's a kid having a hard time, there's usually a reason why, isn't there?
Yes.
And you got to dig in a little bit and find usually something at home or something on the playground.
Yes. Yes. And just being that safe place for them and just giving them a smile, giving them an encouragement, recognizing that they are loved.
Yeah. And that's the footsteps. That's what we're seeing in Jesus here.
Yes.
Was there any other kind of insights you had from this chapter? Because it's a beautiful chapter.
I did. There are six different accounts we know in this chapter, they all show the same thing. They show the power of God. But just in this one chapter, he has power over disease, over sickness, over nature, and over Satan. And two of the accounts he touches to heal, four of the accounts he speaks the word. And there's power in his word. He is the word, right? Even though we don't have Jesus physically, we have that same power in the red letter words in any of the scriptures or the passages. The Bible is living, it's active, and his word has the power to make us whole, to make us spiritually healthy, and we find God's presence. If you're missing God's presence is found in his word. And so just an encouragement to our listeners and to ourselves that we should stay in the word to get his power. Even though he's not here physically, there's power in his word.
If you're in the word, you know it, and you know it, and I know it, and you know it, Mr. Brown. We heard about the widow whose son died. You know, she just and got him back.
Yeah.
Power over disease. He healed these people.
Yes.
What do you tell the kid that's dealing with that? Well, where's my dad just lost his job, just has cancer. He just died.
Yes.
How do we walk a kid through something like that? Because you know I know, cerebrally I know exactly that we go in this world. You love troubles, take heart, overcome the world. We press into Jesus.
Yeah.
But how do you walk that through with a child?
My words to children that are walking through that is that God is a greater purpose. We don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. But God is a greater purpose. They're not going to understand, especially as horrific things that they have walked through. But you can just be an encouragement and show them some scripture of that God has worked in these other people's lives. He has a plan.
Yeah.
We don't have to understand. I, as an adult, don't understand. But just to encourage them with that, he has a greater purpose and a greater plan. If you stand back and look at the picture, he sees the beauty in that. We don't. We see an ugly little thread that's loose in the artwork, or a smudge. Right. But if we look back at the masterpiece that God is making in each of our lives, we have to trust him. And this is an opportunity to trust him, as we have read so many Bible stories that have encouraged us to do so.
Yeah. It's great. Thank you. Because I again, I know that, but I just like, I don't walk too many littlers through that.
They're eight, and hopefully they haven't experienced all that. But,
especially when you said from 4 to 12, you struggled.
Yes.
And so you're teaching kids that are between 4 and 12.
Yes.
So you know there's people in your classroom that aren't super sure.
Yes.
Is God real? Does he really care about me? Does he love me?
Yes.
Walking with them.
Well, I think just the opportunity that we have is just to be present sometimes with these kids as they endure the hardship, because so often as you experience loss or grief, it's all just white noise.
Yes.
Until you do have that moment where you realize, okay, he does love me, and these things happen for a greater purpose that in this moment I don't understand. But even in that, what a privilege we have just to be present with a kid and to walk alongside them as they endure that. And I know, Colleen, you have done that extremely well.
Yeah. Thank you.
100%.
That's cool.
Beautiful. Matthew chapter 8.
Matthew chapter 8.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look through it.
Yeah,
and,
Colleen, thank you very, very much.
This thank you for
powerful.
Having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for your legacy is the right word. I mean, you've left a thumbprint on so many kids, and what a blessing. I'm Dusty Lou, Tim Gardner.
Generational impact. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. So, it's a privilege.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
Folks, thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Culture Conversations.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
It's been great. Thank you. Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit. Regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool, Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.